Backseat Box Office, episode number 67 for the weekend of December 30th, 2011 to January 1st, 2012.
Gargamel, Blue, Midnight. There you go.
What?
Just nonsense.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
Apparently we're starting. This is Jonathan.
Yeah, we've been talking nonsense for a while now. I figured we might as well just start the episode considering, you know, that's kind of what we do.
Because we need the nonsense on you know, recorded, permanent.
It was just kind of a nonchalant, you know, beginning that normally there's a little more oomph there.
Hey, this is Tony.
Yes.
Hey, this is Andrew.
Yeah, you're not going to get that from me, but
come on, do the wacky FM morning DJ voice. Come on.
Have you heard my voice?
I've heard it, but I have a feeling that if you really tried, you could probably be a little wacky.
No, he's not the wacky FM DJ voice. He is the sidekick DJ that always laughs at everything.
There
see?
It is.
See?
Oh, good point. Good point, Tony.
All right, so last week sucked, except that it was Christmas. Merry Christmas.
I was okay with it. Merry Christmas to you, by the way.
Was Santa Claus good to you?
Santa Claus and I have an interesting relationship, but it was okay. How about yourself?
I'm assuming that falls under the morality clause.
Oh, no.
Doing things to the reindeer is always a bad idea.
You know, ever since I've been married, it's been actually ever since we've had a child, it's one of those things where we don't really celebrate Christmas amongst us anymore. We pretty much just, you know, reuse that money into investments and college funds and home improvement jobs. So we don't really get each other presents anymore.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah. Julie got a camera.
Nice.
I got rocks.
Now, were these rocks black and perhaps could be burned for heat?
No.
Oh. No.
These rocks, okay. These rocks, when moist, are dark and actually are used. They can be used for heat, but not when burned. They're primarily to be used to keep things cool.
Did you get whiskey stones?
I did. And I'm using them right now.
How are those? I've always considered picking some up.
I need to give them a more fair shot because they were only in the fridge for about 2 hours. And they say that you can have them in for 2 to 3 hours before you can use them. I only use 3 of them in the drink that I have now. I'm going to try and use probably tomorrow. I'll try to use about 4 of them after they've been in the fridge or in the freezer for a good 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I can give a better review of them at that time. They did cool the liquid down, but not very much.
Mm-hmm.
And they supposedly stay cold for an hour. I think I just didn't have them cold long enough.
Two hours isn't very much.
No, it's really not. It's really not.
I have seen some that are like steel, like stainless steel.
Mm. Cubes. Yeah, the one bad thing is I can't. I'm afraid to clink the ice in the glass.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to break the glass.
They remind me of
The concept is sound.
Yeah, my mom used to have like plastic ice cubes that mm-hmm. were filled with a liquid that you froze.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't ever know what happened to those. They didn't seem to take off.
Well, Jonathan, what did you get for Christmas this year?
I also got a camera.
Nice. Cool.
I got a gift card to a game shop, so I picked up Quarriers and Seven Wonders.
I have not played Quarriers, but I've had several friends say they enjoy it.
I played it once, and it was actually pretty cool. It's like a deck building game if you played Ascension or Dominion or anything like that, but with dice.
Hmm. Right.
So it's kind of cool. I don't remember what else I got.
Well,
salt. I got some salt.
sea salt?
Actually, a finishing salt sampler. So it's like I have some gray salt from like France and some couple of different sea salts and a Kauai mango smoked salt that is supposed to be very tasty on ice cream.
That sounds tasty. I'll be honest, it sounds good, but it's still salt. But okay.
Well, I mean, salt is a flavor enhancer. So you put it onto something that's sweet, and it actually blocks. Just watched a Good Eats on this. It apparently, salt apparently will inhibit the bitter receptors on your tongue, so that more flavor goes to the, you know, sweet and savory and whatnot receptors, so that things taste more flavorful because it inhibits the other bits.
You know, I'm a straight man who's very comfortable in his own skin, but I gotta say, I love Alton Brown.
Oh yeah,
God, that guy's great.
Yeah, my wife, I got for my wife, and I mean, let's be honest, also partly for me, but I got her the complete collection of the Good Eats books.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's nice. Well, as we were talking about gifts, I did think of one thing I got that I should probably bring up. A coworker had recently been to India, and she had brought some of us back. These basically hand-sized carved elephants with ivory tusk.
Ooh.
And the neat thing is like the back, like the body of it, the top part of it is like a lattice. These little holes in it, and inside of the body is a smaller elephant that they carved inside of it. It's actually pretty neat, and it's cool that she would pack stuff back from India for us. So
yeah, it's cool.
That's very cool.
By the way, India, apparently like a 17-hour plane ride.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
I would not recommend it. Well, I was impressed because she was taking like a 2-year-old with her too.
Wow.
On a 17-hour plane ride.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. She's a very impressive woman.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. And now, Tony, besides your cool whiskey stones, anything else you picked up that you worth mentioning?
I did get Arkham City, and I have been spending a lot of time there.
Nice.
It is, like I said before, it is a wretched hive of scum and villainy. And because I am the goddamn Batman, I feel compelled to spend as much time there as possible. Probably missing out on quite a bit of sleep.
Fortunately,
I'm off work this week. But
I think it's better. I would rather you miss sleep for Arkham City than miss sleep for Skyrim.
Yeah, I'm not. You know what? I downloaded the demo of Skyrim and played it for 45 minutes, maybe. And I realized it's just not for me. Maybe at another point in my life, I would have devoted the time necessary to really get into it. But it's not for me.
Well, you know, it's so unappealing that the way the game guys, you may be familiar with them.
I am familiar.
Had to get a guest host coming to talk about it because the three of them would not touch it. These are people who play games that are just horrible just to try them out. I mean, they play El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metrodome. I could keep going on, but I'm just saying they play these horrible games, but they wouldn't even touch Skyrim.
That is true.
To be fair, the guest host that they had on may have convinced one of their hosts to purchase it on.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Which one?
Who broke down?
Take a wild guess.
Alex?
He might also be a host on another podcast that may currently be recording.
You guys recording Way at the Game right now?
Wow.
I mean, Jonathan!
Wow. Yeah, you know what? I tried it. It's just not for me.
Yeah. I mean, I can see it. My biggest thing was just that I didn't have time while I was in school. Mm-hmm. So there was just no option there. But I do want to give it a try and at the very least give it a shot for you know, completion's sake.
Well, you've got 100 hours to kill, which, according to your guest host, who shall remain nameless, apparently that's the requisite amount of time to dump into it.
Apparently that's how much time a lot of people are dumping into it, so...
I know, I'm kind of joking, because I actually put this on my Christmas list for my in-laws, so... Because, you know, my friend Justin locally plays it, and it seems like every third person on my Twitter feed is playing it, whether it be Rob, or Joe, yeah. or Justin, mm-hmm. or Becca, or... But I think Scott's been playing it too.
Yeah,
if I recall correctly.
I think my thing with it, I just couldn't connect with that much in-game management anymore. Mm. And it's just, I think I've just gotten out of that phase of being a hardcore gamer the way I was 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think kids had something to do with that. and podcasting had something else to do with. No, the job was never. I mean, there's 24 hours in a day, 8 hours devoted. Well, 9 hours devoted to a job, 9.5, 10 if you figure drive times, depending on, you know, how far you have to commute. You had yet another hour for meals, 4 or 5 hours for sleep. There's a lot of time still to fill there.
Yeah.
And podcasting takes up a lot of it now, but children take up even more of it. And that's
true.
And you know what? I don't miss the games for the time that I spend with the kids at all. But it is nice to have some kind of release, that, you know, some escapism to go to, just that is not work or podcast or family. And right now, it's Gotham.
Mm-hmm. Where you're the goddamn Batman.
Where I am the goddamn Batman. And then for a little while, I'm Catwoman, which is, you know, kind of refreshing too.
Hey, if you're into gender reversal and role play, hey, I'm not going to judge you, buddy.
Hey.
I'm not going to judge you.
Not
whatever.
Quite sure how Bruce Wayne squeezes into those cat suits, but...
Well, you know, I actually have convinced several people of this philosophy over the last couple of years, because, you know, there's been a lot of games out where we're playing from a third point perspective, like Skyrim, Fallout 3, mm-hmm. Mass Effect.
Are you going to take my what do you want to look at for 40 hours?
Yeah, something? Yeah, exactly. And I've had that forever, because if I'm going to sit there and stare at something for 60 hours, I don't want to be a guy. Yeah. Give me a pretty face. Or you know, third point perspective. You
third
know what
point
I'm talking
perspective,
about.
That's not a face.
You know what I'm talking about.
Especially when you can change the camera angles.
We're trying not to be completely sexist.
From
just a little bit.
Crass. Well, I don't even consider
it
sexism.
About
because
Catwoman's ass.
I think most people, not everyone, I think most people agree that aesthetically speaking, objectively, women are better looking than men. I don't care who you are.
Yes.
This is true.
So it has nothing to do with sexism. I just think most people, including myself, would rather stare at a female form than a well-shaped female form than a well-shaped male form.
See, Becca agrees.
I knew Becca would be in.
Becca would definitely be one to agree.
I mean, I've seen her tweet about Scarlett Johansson, for God's sake.
And that's fair.
I do like to see if they modify the game at all. Like, is the story changed at all for the fact that it's a woman? Like, how does Mass Effect handle it? How does, because something like Saints Row doesn't change anything when the gangster is supposed to be talking about strippers and hookers, whether it's a he or a she, she's talking about strippers and hookers. You know?
Yeah.
So it's always kind of interesting to see. I like to see how they handle those, because I can kind of guess how they were going to, you know, make it work with a guy. Let's see how they're going to handle it with the female side. I always prefer to do that.
Well,
but there's definitely the, you know, what do I want to stare at for?
Now with
60 hours.
Yeah, with Arkham City, it's actually you interact with various characters. You interact with Catwoman, Robin, and I think eventually Nightwing, because I just haven't got to the point. But there are downloadable, you can download the characters, mm-hmm. the playable characters. In that, you actually get completely separate episodes that you play as those characters. The gameplay is totally different.
You get actual story missions for Catwoman.
Okay. And I wasn't sure about the other two. I haven't downloaded the other two yet.
You don't get anything for Robin or Nightwing.
Oh, well, then I'm not.
All you can do is use them in the challenge maps.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah, it's kind of crappy. Like if they had, and I'll wait for those charge a considerable amount for them too.
Yeah. Oof. Well, I was looking at the Arkham City bundle.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I guess it's $15, 1,200 points. And you get both of those and the city skins.
Yeah.
Which those add some challenge maps.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's all part of the challenge stuff. And yeah. Realistically, Catwoman, if you're buying the game or get it as a gift, you know, as a new retail sale, you get Catwoman as a free download.
Yeah, Catwoman's free.
But the Catwoman stuff, you are playing, it is different.
Mm-hmm.
And the story episodes unlock as you play through the game. You don't get to play all of them up front.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to work your way through them. They come up at natural points within the story. They're worked into the story fairly well.
Yeah.
You can go to other places and read about some of the issues with the game, but
I'm enjoying it for what I've played so far. I'm very much enjoying it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. The only thing that I've decided to spend my money on was the skins pack that finally released, and that has like and only for the animated series costumes. I kind of had to get those.
That'd be cool.
Those need to be mine. So you can download those, but yeah, I like for my money, I wouldn't waste them on Batman or Robin or Nightwing. They're not worth the downloads.
All right, so I got that, and I got Settlers of Catan, even though I have no one to play it with.
the electronic version?
He means the actual board game.
The board game.
I got the board game. For anybody in the chat room right now, I got the board game.
Well, let's play right now. Hold it up to the camera.
All right, I'll do that.
Get the board set up.
It's really not that hard. We just need some D6s. We can do this.
Yeah, I'm trusting you, Tony. When you hold up the cards, I earn not to look at them. Don't look at my development cards. Just hold up the camera so I can see them.
There are certain variants that play open hand.
Ah, well, there you go. Do that.
Well, you know, I really enjoy the Seafarers of Catan expansion for it. I think out of all the expansions I had, my favorite is the Seafarers because it adds a whole. You're no longer confined. If you get trapped on the coast, you can just head out to sea and see what you find.
Nice.
I'm a big fan of Cities and Knights. I think it adds a considerable amount of depth. Like Settlers by itself is entertaining for a while, but then I tend to agree with you, Becca. It does lose its luster because it ends up kind of being the same thing over and over again. But Cities and Knights adds... I don't know. It just adds some meat to the bone that is Settlers. I've yet to combine Cities and Knights with Seafarers. I really want to do that, but
yeah,
that would be kind of crazy.
I think I'm going to try to see if there's a variant of it that is a little bit simpler and see if I can get Holden involved. He's starting to get into logical strategic games.
Mm-hmm.
And he got Stratego for Christmas.
Mm.
And he won our first game that we played together.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, I thought I had a good strategy and I didn't. He marched a miner straight through my bombs. I was like, I don't have any way to stop that. Huh. I need to rethink this strategy.
Oops.
Yeah. It was like, and I could see it. He got like three... He got like three moves before the end, and I was like, all I could do is just sit there and watch it happen. I was like, he got me. He got me fair and square. I'm probably one of those mean asshole dads. I don't let him win.
Yeah.
Some games it's easier to do, but for the most part I don't let him win a lot just because I don't think it's helpful.
Yeah.
Now it's sometimes causes a lot of counseling afterwards. But you know, I'm very much of the mind that losing is healthy and you can learn a lot from losing. And he's starting to get that a little more. Mm-hmm. But man, when he wins, it's like forget it. The gloating, the chest beating, it's bad.
You probably deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Settlers shouldn't be too bad for him.
Yeah, I don't think it will be.
It's just the biggest problem you're going to have is just finding a third person to play.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, it's dice rolling and go.
I think Erin is very advanced for her age. I think she'll have no problem with this.
I think so. I think she'll be fine.
No problem at all. Because I know Julie's not going to sit down and play.
No. No, she won't.
Well, this may shock you guys, but in the last 3 days, I've seen 2 movies in the theater.
Really? Wow. What'd you see?
I know. So my dad, my brother, and I went to go see The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And then we took the kids one day to go see Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked.
Mm. And which did you enjoy more?
Well, this may surprise you, but they're very different films.
No. No.
I mean, I know.
So, wait a minute. Shocking. The rumors I'm hearing about Alvin raping and getting raped, not true?
Not true. No, I think you're thinking of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Maybe I'm thinking of the audience gets raped by going to see it.
Well, no, I would not. So let's start with that. Let's start with Alvin. It's an Alvin Chipmunks movie, for God's sake. If you like Alvin Chipmunks, it's going to be great. If you don't like him, it's going to be horrible. Mm. It's very in line with the first two movies. If you hated those, you'll probably hate this one. You know, it's an okay kids film. It's not one I go to. It's not like going to see Up with my son and just being blown away or, you know, How to Train a Dragon or anything. But for a kids movie, it's not like it's not like pulling nails out of my hand either. I enjoy it. But I was a huge Chipmunks fan growing up, so I've got nostalgia for it.
Hmm.
I have no nostalgia for Winnie the Pooh, but give me some Chipmunks and I'm in.
You're a sick, sick man.
I have been told that before. We could read some
quotes back from the chat room and I think confirm what people think about you. Tallulah, I don't like girls, but yeah, girls are better looking naked. Andrew's comment immediately afterwards, I completely agree.
Absolutely.
Then his next comment, when we were granted to put context to it, we were talking about Settlers at the time, but is, I've got wood for sheep.
I do love that joke. That is a great joke. No matter how old and hot hackneyed it is, I love that joke.
So you completely agree with Tallulah's entire statement.
Yeah, I know where you're going with it. Yes, sure, I do. I don't want to argue about it. Let's move on.
I don't want to argue.
Yes, I do. Let's move on.
I just want to mock.
Sure, that's fair. But then I watched The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. A little bit darker of a film than Alvin. Mm. I mean, Daniel Craig's awesome in it. Rooney Mara was fantastic as Elizabeth. I mean, the casting was great. I may not have been in the mood to watch a really dark film, so it was okay. If you're in for a dark film, I mean, the actors are fantastic. The story's good. And it's not quite as dark as the Swedish version.
I was curious about it. Have you seen the Swedish version?
I have seen most of the Swedish version.
Okay.
And it is not quite as rapey, I think, is the term you guys used on your review.
Yeah.
As the Swedish version, but it's not far off either.
When you hit 4 rapes, you kind of earn the tag rapey. It's achievement unlocked.
They backed it back to 2 on this one. So, but in one of them particularly is quite brutal. So, and I wasn't really, you know, day after Christmas, I wasn't really in the mood for that. But
go figure.
I know. If I'd been in a better place mentally, I may have enjoyed it more. But it's a very well done movie. It's just very dark. Okay, broke all the right. podcast. Fantastic.
Again.
So let's just move into how things did last weekend, shall we? Now, as always, standard disclaimer, we only look at the Friday through Sunday results for the weekend. No holiday BS here.
And we also have to point out that as of this recording and as of when I posted the results, we only have estimates for a number of the movies. They still have not posted actuals for Mission Impossible, Sherlock Holmes, Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, The Adventures of Tintin, New Year's Eve, The Darkest Hour, amongst the movies that are, I guess, currently about in the top 10 right now. None of those movies have posted actuals yet for the weekend.
Yeah, and so this does have to be taken with that caveat, certainly. But with what we know, the best information we have on hand. Now, number one, Mission Impossible jumped from number three to number one. Brought in $29.5 million as it added 3,023 extra theaters. That always helps. And so the change in the weekend gross was up 130.7% from the previous weekend. Sherlock Holmes dropped from number one to number two with $20.2 million. It was down 48%. The aforementioned Girl with the Dragon Tattoo debuted at number three with $12.7 million. In case you're curious, it has a $90 million budget. Last time I looked, I think it had total gross for its run in the U.S. is $22, $23 million. Number four, Alvin the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked, fell with a gross of $12.5 million. Then finally at number five, The Adventures of Tintin debuted with $9.7 million. And because I believe we need to know, at number six, we had We Bought a Zoo, number seven, War Horse, and God help you if you picked The Darkest Hour because it came in number nine.
That is true.
But no one picked that, did they?
No. I think we only went as far down as War Horse.
Ouch. Now, yeah. I'm trying to remember who had War Horse in their top five. I don't recall, though.
Wasn't me.
It was.
Yeah, I don't think it was us.
It wasn't a host. It was not a host.
It wasn't a host.
If you give me a moment, I can pull that up.
Well, while you're looking into that, why don't I tell you how I did this weekend?
Do that.
Because I think I did the best of the three of us.
You did.
So, you know, and I had a 21 for the weekend. So obviously not a far from a perfect showing, but somehow number one amongst the hosts. I had The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo at number one. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. That's Tony's picks. I had Mission Impossible. I had Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol at number one, which was spot on. At number two, I had The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I had that flip-flopped with Sherlock Holmes, which I had number three. So those were each one off. So that's 2 points that cost me. And then I pretty much, at number four, I had The Adventures of Tintin. It was actually number five, so there was another point. And at number five, I had Alvin the Chipmunks. It was actually number four. There's one more point for a total of four, which left me with 21. Jonathan, I believe you're next.
My total was 19 because I got Mission Impossible right, and then I gave The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and a bunch of other movies too much credit. I put A Dragon Tattoo at number two, Tintin at number three, Sherlock at number four, and We Bought a Zoo at number five. So pretty much nothing in the right position except for Mission Impossible 4.
Yeah, so we mentioned before that I was looking up who picked War Horse in their top five, and that would be Mentally. Excuse me, that would be Mentally. Granted, Mentally picked Mission Impossible 4 at number 1, Sherlock Holmes at number 2, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo at number 3, and Alvin and the Chipmunks at number 4. So her top 4 picks were perfect. So her picking the 7th place movie and 5th only lost her 2 points. She was tied among the people who had the highest score of the week. She got a 23. So
congratulations.
Yeah, we can snicker about the fact that she picked War Horse in her top 5. If she was unaware of the fact that it was only open on Sunday,
true,
that would have been a good pick. It actually probably would have been a bit low, considering how well it performed in its first couple of days. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so congratulations, Melly, for hitting a 23.
Woo!
Her, Father Beast, Tom, and Jeff all had 23s, though. The other guys picked slightly different. I'm going to go ahead and do a quick rundown of the points. I'm not going to go through all the picks.
Real quick, before you do that, maybe you should tell us how you did.
You know what? I will follow up my reading of the points with mine, because the natural progression of me starting with the highest scores and ending with the lowest, I'll naturally end with mine.
Very well. I will sit here and nod.
Oh, S and Mrs. Beast picked the same as Andrew did, and they all have 21. Mark got a 20. Jonathan and Tad picked the same, and they both got a 19. William had slightly different picks, and he got a 19. Uriah, Scott, Cougaron, and BD, no shows. Some claim illness, some claim vacation, some claim forgetting because of the holiday. But then my picks. I picked Girl with a Dragon Tattoo at number one. It was a bold choice, and I failed with that choice. I lost 4 points. Mission Impossible 4, I had at number two, lost a point there. Tintin, I picked in third, lost a couple there. Holmes in fourth, lost a couple there. Alvin in fifth, lost a point there. And I ended up with a 15 on the week. We mentioned before that there are a few movies that are only in, that we only have the estimates for. If anything were to happen and a couple of movies were to reverse places, specifically Alvin and the Chipmunks and Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, my 15 goes to a 12.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to lock this in as the finals for this week, since we don't know at this point. As it turned out, I am now in fourth place over on the leaderboard. Tad bumped me out of my third place spot, which last week the scores weren't posted, but S took over first place for on the leaderboard. And we had a little more shaking up among the hosts last week. As it stands right now, from top to bottom, we'll go down through the lowest host. S is in first place, BD in second, Tad in third. I'm newly in fourth place. The tie between Jeff and Scott was broken because Jeff got a 23 and Scott didn't participate. So Jeff is in fifth, Scott's in sixth, Cougaron in seventh, Tom is in eighth, Mark in ninth, Andrew in 10th, Uriah is all by himself in 11th, and Father Beast and Jonathan are tied for 12th or tied for 13th, depending on how you look at it.
Goody.
I gotta say, I really enjoy having this extra leg room up at the number 10 spot now. After last week being kind of crammed in.
Yeah, yeah.
With man hands over there.
Well, he actually was bumped out of the 10th place spot last week. I just was ridiculously busy and did not get it posted.
Ah, well. As you may have noticed from my editing job last week, I'm kind of busy myself.
Things happen.
My editing, well, you know what? Just, I guess, quick segue. Not segue. Quick off the tracks here.
Zombie editing?
No zombie editing. I sat down. I was like, oh, all I'm going to do, I'm going to line everything up and just, you know, I know there's one big pause I'm going to cut out, and that's it. I'll export it and then upload it. I'm done. So, you know, I get all my tracks into Audacity. You know, I've got like six different tracks between toms and the intro music and the outro music and the title and all that. And I realize as I'm getting things lined up that I have no idea where we threw it to Tom. And for some reason, I thought it was towards the front of the show, which was incorrect. So I was doing that whole thing where, you know, you flip ahead 30 seconds and listen and flip ahead 30 seconds and listen and flip ahead. I did that for quite a while the other night until I finally found like 40 minutes in where we threw it to Tom. After that, it was easy, although having six tracks to export took like 30 minutes, but... At that point, I was doing other things. But yeah, so note to self, write down time mark. crucial piece if you want to do a quick editing.
Can be helpful.
But back on topic. Yes, I'm enjoying being on top of Jonathan Uriah. Enough said.
Oh, thank you.
Should we talk about the new movies coming out this week?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, Jonathan, tell us about the new movies coming out this week.
All four of them.
Well, there's
alphabetical order, please.
About Margaret Thatcher.
It's true, from the Weinstein Company. I actually saw the preview for that in front of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
There's a movie about an angel and his crest.
I don't think that's true.
Or,
I don't think that's true at all.
Well, it has to be. That has to be the possessive, because otherwise it would be angel's crests, which is really hard to say. Maybe that's why they didn't name it that.
Unless it's you're talking about like the logo for the Los Angeles team.
I don't think that movie poster doesn't look like that's what that's about.
I don't know.
Looks like it's about a mountain of some type.
Yeah. I wonder if people eat each other in this movie like happens in mountain movies.
I'm going to go see it then.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got to say there's been a distinct lack in cannibalism in the films I've seen recently.
Well, not cannibalistic, but Pariah is about the coming out difficulties that two lesbian women have.
That is also not what I would have guessed from the movie poster.
Just so you know, this is based on catching about 45 seconds of a review of it on NPR today in the car. So, pretty sure that's right, but don't yell at me if I'm a little off.
A Separation looks to be about a redhead and a guy with a beard.
Beardsy McBeardson? Really? I love that guy.
Of course, if, you know, since the movie posters don't seem to be very, you know, informative this week, it could be a high action movie about pirates.
I got to tell you, I'm putting the Iron Lady number one this week.
You make that happen.
I mean, how can it go wrong? It's not the fact that I'm an Anglophile blinding me to the sheer reality that a movie opening in four theaters is not going to beat anything.
Well, you can't keep Mrs. Thatcher down.
That's what I'm saying. They were trying to keep her down her whole life, and she overcame. She was a badass in the Falklands. Come on.
Did she ever have to overcome a four opening theater, though? Four theater opening.
Let me go grab her biography.
A more appropriate.
Probably, but that's okay. So, for those who may be confused, these are all just minuscule, tiny releases. There's actually no movies in wide release this week.
Nothing is happening this week.
Nothing. Yeah.
Like, normal-sized people, this would still be a handful. Like, less than a handful of movies. Or I should say theaters that these are opening in, as opposed to Jonathan's handfuls.
I think we got that.
Way to pound it home there, Chief.
Hey, just wanted to make sure we were all aware. He didn't laugh at it. That's his one move, so come on. I had to make sure.
He has to picture how we're reacting to it, and then it makes him laugh. Now he's not doing it on purpose.
No, I'm reading the Angel's Crest.
Synopsis? Tell us.
In the working class, this is, for what it's worth, this is a movie that doesn't have any theaters listed as opening.
Yeah, watch it actually open in like 2000 this weekend.
Be number one.
I wouldn't count on that.
No.
In the working class Rocky Mountain town of Angel's Crest, I don't think that's any Rocky Mountain town in my state section of the Rocky Mountains. I can say that at least.
It's Rocky Mountain.
Young father Ethan is doing his best to raise his 3-year-old son, Nate. He has no choice. Nate's mother is an alcoholic. He also has no choice because it's his goddamn kid, so you do what you do. But anyway, sorry. But one wow, snowy day... Yeah, might a little commentary slip into my objective.
No, I thought that was just an explicit synopsis.
No.
Boy, that would make it awesome. I would definitely see a movie that had an explicit synopsis like that.
I would sign up just, for that RSS feed.
That's weird wording. He has no choice. Like, it's your fucking son.
Well, I mean, he has a choice. No choice. He has a choice because, I mean, she obviously chooses to drink instead.
Yeah.
He could, like, do meth. I mean, that's a choice.
Well, no, that's more the plains.
That's true. That's kind of around here.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sean, yes.
But one snowy day, Ethan's momentary lapse in judgment results in tragedy, catapulting the town's tight-knit community into strange new directions, cannibalism, as they try to decide where the blame lies. It doesn't actually say cannibalism.
Boy, that would be dark. Mom got drunk and ate the kid.
I just figure it's a zombie movie. They just don't want to tell you it's a zombie movie in the synopsis. I think it's a zombie movie.
Angel's Crest opens with the laughter of children at play, but that's the only hint of happiness you'll find in this unflinchingly manipulative and pointless morality play.
So if the girl with the dragon tattoo is a little too light and airy for you, maybe go check out Angel's Crest.
So sounds like the kid dies.
No. Spoiler, come on, Jonathan.
What are you doing?
Nobody's going to see it because it's not opening in any theaters.
I bet it opens in D.C. and Tallulah could go see if she wanted.
That could happen.
I mean, D.C. is one of the major markets.
We could have this discussion again.
No, we're not. No, no. Here are my picks. We're moving on.
No, wait. Before you give your picks.
If you mention anything about the population of Chicago, I will come up there and talk to you.
No, we need to
third
throw it
most
over to,
populous city.
We need to throw it over to Tom.
God damn you, Jonathan.
Because he lives. What? Because Tom will probably actually record from a very populous city, or not. Mix it up. Be crazy.
Hey there. Quick note. Tom took the week off for the holidays, so we don't have a Backseat Box Office UK this week. And normally we have, when we cut away to Tom, we BS for a few minutes. Normally that all gets cut out and left in the editing room floor, such as it were. But this week I decided to go ahead and leave it in since we didn't have Tom's thing. And, well, you know, I hope you enjoy.
You know, I'm waiting for Tom because it's awesome. I love that he goes out every week and records this in different places around London. That is
totally very cool.
One of the things. Yeah, totally one thing that hooks me into it. But I'm just waiting for eventually, some week he's not going to be out, and he's going to be like, and I'm recording today from the living room of my apartment, where 4 years ago I made out with a girl named Sherry. It was a great night.
That would be fantastic.
I would love it. So, picks.
Picks.
Tom.
I don't have to go first.
All right. No, I'm going first. And here I go. Are you ready? Okay. Number one, I'm going to go say Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol continues to hold the number one spot. At number two, I'm putting War Horse. Maybe I'm overvaluing it, but based on its 1 day total.
Wow.
I think it could pop up and do well enough to take the number two spot. Number three, I got Holmes, Sherlock Holmes, The Game of Shadows. At number four, I've got The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. At number five, I have Blink on my list, so let's say Alvin and the Chipmunks.
All right.
Did you really just do that?
Did I do what now?
Did you just really stumble your way into forcing me to say Ditto?
Apparently I did. Bam.
Well, there are my picks. Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome. Tony.
I'm going to be contrary because shocking. I can. Because
it's kind of your move.
Well, it can be.
No, I've listened to enough BSP. It's kind of your move.
Well, it's actually probably fairly safe to be contrary because I just now had the thought to look at the dailies for the weekend.
The dailies don't look good for Warhorse.
They don't look as good as we gave them credit for.
Correct.
But I'm gonna
put it in my top five. Yeah, I'm gonna put it in my top five, but I'm not gonna put it at number two.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol at number one. I'm going to give number two to Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows. I think Warhorse is more likely to fall into that gap that is between Sherlock Holmes and then the next movie down from it, which I'm gonna say I'm actually gonna go with Alvin and the Chipmunks for number four, and then The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo at number five. I think they're just too close. I think they're too close, and I think The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is probably just not gonna have another good strong weekend, another holiday weekend where people are gonna be out potentially taking their kids to the movies because they're on a holiday weekend. I don't see people getting drunk and saying, oh, let's go see Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I think those people are more likely to go see Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Hold on a second. I have some thoughts, but I have to make a couple clicks there.
Okay.
Hold on one second.
So again, just for clarity's sake, Mission Impossible at number one, Sherlock Holmes at number two, War Horse at number three, Alvin and the Chipmunks at number four, and Girl with the Dragon Tattoo at number five.
I can see that.
So I'm looking back at last year's New Year's Eve weekend, because as you may or may not remember, last year, New Year's Day was on Saturday, New Year's Eve was on Friday.
That's true.
So it felt fully within the weekend. Number one at the box office, Little Fockers.
Oh my God.
Second week out, True Grit was at number two. Tron Legacy was at number three. Yogi Bear is number four. And The Chronicles of Narnia was number five.
That's a whole lot of family movie.
Well, True Grit, not so much family movie.
Not that one, but
three of the five I would call definitely family movies. Tron Legacy is maybe kind of on the border between me and a family movie.
It was between
me. If you have a family that loves sci-fi, yeah, it's a family movie.
Yeah, for Holden and I, that was a good movie to go see.
Absolutely, but okay, well, that's all I wanted to see. Never mind.
doesn't help your doesn't position help at all, does it?
No, I was thinking True Grit was number one, which is also kind of a. I mean, obviously, it's more mainstream than The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but they're both remakes of movies. One's Western, one's kind of this dark mystery. But no, it only came in number two. So,
yeah, I just
actually
I can just see The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo pulling it more of that during the week kind of audience, and getting a longer play during the week than bringing in big bank on the weekends.
Well, and if you think about it, like we've been invited to three New Year's Eve parties. Like, there's no way we're going to hit the movies. But if I had kids, I could absolutely see, like, handing them off to somebody else and then being like, here, take them to the movies.
Yeah. Hey, babysitter, here's a 50. Go to the movies with my kids.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's... That maybe that explains it. Like, everybody else is at their friends getting drunk watching the ball drop while, you know.
Well, you know, there's some of that, but there's also the you wake up the next day and after you get out of bed at 1 PM, well, why not go see a movie?
True.
So I remember really we had that see butt rape.
Yeah,
we really had that exact same discussion last year. So
yeah, I would almost see more likely going to a movie like Mission Impossible or Sherlock Holmes,
yeah,
waking up in that circumstance, not going to see a movie that is that if you've done any research, you know, is a very dark story.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty dark. That crazy, crazy Swede.
Mm.
Stieg Larsson.
Stieg Larsson, yep.
Can't say anything too bad seeing as he's dead, but
well.
Speak well of the dead, Tony. Speak well of the dead.
Okay. I won't just say anything then.
All right.
Not that just I really have anything wrong. Not like I have a whole lot against the guy.
I just feel bad that he missed out on all this tremendous financial success because he died.
Well,
he's like, oh, my poor struggling writer. I've slaved away and written three books that were published and didn't do that well. And now I'm dead. And oh, my God, now they explode.
Well, every age has to have its Van Gogh.
It's true.
Someone else who became famous posthumously that I can't think of right now.
And those people, artists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the character of Lisbeth was born through tragedy. So, I mean, if you listen to our episode, you know that...
it is only fitting.
Yeah, well, he watched a girl get raped and didn't do anything to step in or say anything, and he felt a tremendous amount of guilt by that.
As he should.
Well, yeah. And that girl's name was Lisbeth, which is the name of his character in these stories. And that's why rape does feature as a prominent theme throughout.
Yeah, it's a dark movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you take anything away from Backseat Box Office Episode 67, take away it's a dark movie. Because I think that's been the running theme.
True.
That and the fact that Arkham City is awesome.
And that Andrew likes weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. And not girls.
And not girls. But he likes to look at them.
Yes.
I appreciate the women.
Just looking at them.
Much like you appreciate a fine painting. You look, but it's not safe to touch.
That's what I've been told by my wife.
That's fair.
I'm sure Tony has been told that as well.
Looking sometimes. Sometimes looking isn't even okay.
Kind of got to gauge the temperature in the room.
Yeah, yeah. Is it okay this time? No. Okay, moving on.
Is she looking at me while I'm looking at them? Or yes, I shouldn't look at them.
No. Did you see the goiter on her neck? Jesus Christ, that was nice. What I was really looking at.
So Jonathan's going to a New Year's Eve party. Tony, what are your plans?
We discussed it earlier this evening, and I think we are going to dive into the large stack of board games that were given to the kids or the family in general, and dive in also to the stack of films that the kids got, and make up some junk food and play some board games and... watch a movie or two. Just kind of hang out at home. It's amateur night. I really don't feel like being out and about in it. So we'll be better off just hanging here with the kids.
That sounds good to me, man. Sounds good to me. All right. Well, I think let's stick a fork in this one. I think it's done.
Well, what are you doing?
Oh, sorry. So weird, man. You guys asked me what I'm up to. I'm actually going to be celebrating Christmas with my in-laws over the New Year's Eve weekend.
Oh. So you're not going to have time to try to place first in the Way of the Game tournament then, huh?
Okay, yeah, let's talk about this for a minute.
Oh, wait a minute. That's right, because I kind of knocked you out of your position earlier today. I forgot to mention that.
Did you send me an email?
I did not.
It has that option. You just hit the blue X after you do it, and you can send the person you unseated a little email taunting them.
I need to remember to do that because I got over 20 million.
Oh. You see, I don't care.
In the
fifth
game that I ever played of it.
I don't care if Tony's beat me. I don't care if Jonathan beats me. I expect Juriel to beat me. Really, I need to beat Joe. So, you know, he'd beat me and got up to about 16 million. I beat him, got up to like 17 million. And then he beat me, I think it was Sunday, got up to 20. So, yeah, today and tomorrow are my last chances to get ahead of Joe with enough of a lead to keep him behind me. But
now, I
don't know if I will be able to do that or not.
I know I have in the 20 millions, but I don't know what my score below that beyond that is. So I don't know if I'm actually ahead of Joe or not, because I'm not friends with Joe on Xbox. I need to change that, but I realize that I'm not friends with him there. So I don't know how I stand in relation to him at the moment.
When I was on yesterday, he was at an even 20 million point, I don't know, 728, something like that.
Yeah, mine's 20 million and something. It's not, I don't have.
So
like
you guys are probably neck and neck, then.
We're probably very close.
Yep. So I need to overtake both of you, really. That'd be best case scenario. I just don't know if I'll have time before we leave town. And I don't think I'll be allowed to take my Xbox to the in-laws with me.
You better get cracking then, son.
It only takes one good run. I mean, I got 60-something million, and that was mostly just, I don't know how that happened.
I can tell you what it is.
If you could tell me how that happened, I'd appreciate it.
I can actually tell you.
I can't, but...
I can tell you because my first ball, I got over 10 million. And then everything after that was gravy because the multipliers maintain. And it's all about the multipliers. If you get the multipliers up high enough, like you get it up into that bumper zone in the upper left, and you're getting like 17,000 per bumper. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got most of my points. I just kept sending it up there and would get $500,000 every time I sent it up there.
So how do you get the multiplier up?
I have not figured that out yet.
To be based on speed. It's based on entry speed. So the faster that spinner is spinning, the more points you get when the ball enters, apparently. Then there's also, like, if you can get the skill shot is really important, too.
Well, I'm really good at getting that double skill shot off the top.
You need to get the super skill shot. Hit it just a little bit shorter. It drops into a little, it drops right down up into the upper right bumper or a flipper, whatever the thing's called.
Yeah.
And you hit it up into Nessie. That gets you, you get the skill shot for dropping it onto the table, double skill shot for hitting up onto Nessie. And then if you get it through the, you know, around the corner and through the gate where normally you get the double skill shot, you'll get a super skill shot. And that's like 4 million points right there.
Ooh, I'll have to try that because I do know it drops short sometimes on that. I didn't realize if you'd pop that top right though, that would pick up even more. I did not realize that.
Yeah, you drop it just a bit short. It hits the table. You get it up into Nessie, and then you get it, and then that gets you twice as many points as the double skill shot does.
And for any listeners who may be alarmed, Nessie is referring to the Loch Ness Monster, naughty girl.
For what it's worth, to any listeners out there, since this will drop on Friday. The way the game is running a tournament, and you are welcome to join. All you have to do is friend Molarom on Xbox Live and play the paranormal table in Pinball FX2. We're giving away the Virtue and Vengeance, a code for the Virtue and Vengeance.
Ooh.
Four pack.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't buy that today then.
Yeah,
you pick up Moon Knight, Thor, X-Men, and Ghost Rider?
You pick up Thor, X-Men, Moon Knight, and Ghost Rider. Yes, those are the four.
And the one thing I love about, for those who have never tried Pinball FX2, it's great. You can download the actual engine of the game for free, and then you can buy what tables you want. And if you're buying a single table, it's 240 Microsoft points, so... Yeah, it's not much in terms of
like
money.
$4.
Yeah, and then you know, obviously if you pick up a four pack, it'll cost you more. But the paranormal table, I think it's $240. But
it's
the paranormal table is a lot of fun. It's very, it kind of very much gets me in the mood of like X-Files or Fringe or something like that. But it's a great table.
I'm disappointed nobody has the nobody I know has the Sorcerer's Lair table.
I do not yet, but I've been hearing you guys talk about it. So
it's a lot of fun. I also have like 165 million on it, and
ooh, maybe after this challenge is up, because right now I'm going to devote all of my time to trying to get an even better score.
I don't blame you, and I'm working on finding, because Juriel, when like, because we're only running this tournament from like Christmas to New Year's.
Right.
So when the ball drops in New York City, then we are we're ending the tournament. And Juriel from the Spooky Outhouse boards, the week before Christmas, set a score of something like 185 million.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Something insane. It's like crap. And he already has a score of See, I think I'm 60 million right now, and he's 64. So, like, he's already on the top. But the thing is, he's won a couple of the other contests we've run, and he's like, don't give me prizes. I don't want them. And I don't know if that applies here or not. So you may not have to actually be competing with Juriel, and Alex and I are both out of it anyway. So it's really... If Juriel doesn't want the codes, it really is kind of between, at the moment, Joe, Tony, and Andrew. So,
oh, it is on because I feel like I can beat you guys.
This could get bloody.
Well, your biggest problem
is that you're not going to have the game come.
Yeah, that's going to be a bad thing. Is that when it gets to be like New Year's Eve day, yeah, and I'm going to be on the like Twitters.
Million point.
Yeah.
Round.
I need to. I can't take my Xbox with me. Obviously, Sam's problems are no way equitable to mine. Not really. He's got bigger problems than I do, but man, I wish I had my Xbox with me this weekend. All right, now let's stick a fork in it.
All right.
It is overdone at this point.
Yep. Happy New Year.
See y'all in 2012.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep.